Tuesday, June 14th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, last month we covered a story concerning the new Methodist Church denomination, the Global Methodist Church. We talked about how a number of churches in Florida were planning on leaving the United Methodist Church to join this new denomination. Harry's stories out last week concerning dozens of Georgia churches doing the same as those Florida churches. At the same time these churches are leaving the old denomination, there was an interesting paper that came out entitled "The Faith Once Delivered, a Wesleyan Witness." Over 60 Methodist theologians signed a statement to retrieve the riches of the Wesleyan tradition amid the LGBT debate.
They're leaving, and they're leaving by the hundreds. We've now noticed some in Georgia, some in Florida. We've seen it all around the world, this global Methodist movement that is attempting to be faithful to its biblical moorings of Methodism. There is another movement that has been tried before, and that is a movement within the existing Methodist Church to return the Methodist Church back to its theological moorings. Now, here's part of the problem, Tom, of these 60 theologians, which, by the way, I admire their forthrightness and their courage and their desire to come back to the essential evangelical doctrines that characterized the birth of the Methodist Church in the 18th century. There were two great figures in the providence of God that brought forth the Methodist Church, and one was a man by the name of George Whitfield, and the other was John Wesley, along with his brother Charles Wesley. This is an attempt to revitalize the church with doctrinal fidelity and integrity. But here's the problem. On the books, the Methodist Church has not changed its position on sexual ethics and marriage, but it has lost the ability to exercise church discipline. When pastors go against their church's standards, the church does not have the discipline to discipline those who are violating their standards. The marks of the church are prayer, word, sacrament, and discipline, that is, standards to bear upon the lifestyle, not only upon an individual as they are being discipled, but upon a church and a denomination to discipline itself according to biblical maxims and biblical truth. But what they're going through is not unusual. It happened at the birth of the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church came out of the Church of England. The Church of England had lost its way biblically. It no longer exercised church discipline. It was corrupt in theology. Therefore, some stayed in an attempt to win it through evangelism and discipleship, such as George Whitfield, and others left it to start a new denomination. The same thing is happening again. Groups of the Methodists that are leaving to establish a church that is faithful to God's word. And then you've got this group that is attempting to call the church back to its biblical moorings and the ability to exercise discipline. It's one thing to endorse what's right, but you also, as a church, have to enforce what's right.
Harry, this is not dissimilar to a situation that is happening in your denomination, the Presbyterian Church in America.
We're dealing with issues concerning the practice of certain churches and declarations of certain pastors. There is nothing wrong with our Constitution, the Westminster Standards, and the Book of Church Order. They're fine. The real problem is not the lack of clarity. We've got plenty on the books in our Westminster Standards, Larger and Shorter Catechism, and our Book of Church Order. Our problem is our inability to enforce those biblical standards. And that's where the crisis is right now within the Presbyterian Church in America. We have an orthodox, biblical, evangelical, reformed theology statement. What we lack is the will to enforce it at the local level in a session and at the presbytery level and at the General Assembly level. That destroys the integrity of what we are endorsing. We are endorsing what's right, but we're not able to enforce it in the courts of the church with church discipline in terms of what does it mean to be qualified for ordination? What does it mean to govern the message of the pulpits of the church? We have standards that must be applied, not just acknowledged, but also applied. Methodist Church is right there. They've got all the right statements in place. For almost 100 years, they've not been able to enforce it. First of all, with the onslaught of liberalism, and then secondly, now with the onslaught of progressivism. And both of those movements are controlled not by the authority of Scripture, but by the authority of the culture. In other words, instead of speaking in terms the culture understands, the church starts speaking on the terms that the culture demands.
Harry, pardon my bluntness, but it appears to me that this document written by these conservative Methodist theologians entitled The Faith Once Delivered, a Wesleyan Witness, is a waste of time.
I would disagree with that, Tom. I've watched God bless conservatives in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church in the 1970s and 80s and brought that denomination back to biblical faithfulness. I've watched it in local churches. That's why we do the Ministry of Church Revitalization. I believe a denomination can be revitalized. That's one of the great judgment calls. Is it time to leave or is it time to speak? I agree that there comes a time to leave. When is that? Well, I believe it is when Ichabod has occurred. Ichabod is that statement, the glory and the power of the Lord has departed. Until that time, I believe we are called to fight the good fight within the denomination itself. So I would say to these 60 theologians, this is a worthwhile endeavor, but if it is rejected, then you need to be able to stand firm for Christ and don't be tied to the facilities and the name of the church and the name of the denomination. Go ahead and be faithful, even if it requires leaving. Sometimes you have to separate, but I do believe your first movement is to make every effort to reclaim what God has put in place.
How do we know when the glory of the Lord has departed?
Tom, it's a lot of prayer. It's a lot of thought. My forefathers in the 1970s fought for 60 years in the Southern Presbyterian Church. Finally, in 1972, they said, that's it, we're done. I believe there are two things you look for. Number one, if the confession is changed of a church to undermine the authority of God's word, then you have to leave because your ultimate court of appeals is the inerrant, sufficient word of God. Or if the church has manifestly made clear with repeated decisions it will not enforce what it endorses, then it's time to leave. Tom, I only have one quarrel with these 60 theologians as I look at their document. They have attempted to go back to the foundational issues and restate what Wesleyan evangelical theology is committed to. If you will outline those very briefly, my critique is not that they're trying to renew and revitalize their denomination. My critique is the document itself.
Harry, according to the Christian Post, which did a summary of The Faith Once Delivered, a Wesleyan Witness, they said, the first section highlights the attributes of God and the Holy Trinity. The second section looks at creation and the fall of man. The third part is centered on God's self-revelation and the authority of Scripture. The fourth section...
We won't go through all of it. There's my problem. I do not believe you start with the attributes of God, nor the spiritual condition of man. You have to start with the Word of God. You can't know the attributes of God without God's Word revealing who He is. God reveals Himself in creation, and God reveals Himself in His Word. So what you need to do is start with the Scriptures. My challenge to them would be take number three and make it number one, because it's from the Word of God that you know who God is and the attributes of God. It's from the Word of God you know what man's problem is. That would be my one suggestion to them. That is ultimately the issue in the Methodist Church. They have gone to cultural magisterium instead of biblical magisterium. Sola Scriptura, the Scripture alone is our only rule of faith and practice. But I am praying for them, and I am praying for those who have come out to establish a denomination faithful with a vibrant witness for the Scriptures, the preeminence of Christ, and the proclamation of the gospel.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive. expensive CD. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.